friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
One point loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. You held Joe Burrow down under 120 yards passing. Held down Ja'Marr Chase. Held down T. Higgins. Held down their running game. Defense did a great job. Baltimore Ravens. You lose big. Not necessarily on the defense. You shut down Derrick Henry. How do you do that? This defense
and
is
lose?
Playing and lose. This defense is playing terrific football for our Cleveland Browns. Welcome, everybody. Jeff Phelps, along with Andy Baskin, Dan Menigan, Meredith Kane, 216-474-0092, number to join us.
So what are you looking at? I mean, there were three touchdowns in that game. And again, I'm breaking it down backwards. There were three touchdowns. They score 41 points. And what is it? Less than 20. Or there you give up 20-something. Like, there were three drives that had to be less than 35 yards, I think, in that game. And one, they didn't even touch the field. It was the offense gave up the touchdown. So, I mean, when you look at that, so basically, if you want to kind of look at it from my weird angle, defense probably gave up 21 points. Is that fair to the Ravens?
Yeah.
21 points is probably fair enough.
Which is okay.
And by the way, if you do what everybody else in the NFL does, you score 21 points. So, I understand everything you're saying, Jeff.
Well, the numbers here, and I don't want to dwell on the numbers, but they're so glaring, it's ridiculous. And it's only two games. We know that.
Against two good offenses, though. That's
against
thing.
Two really good offenses.
That's the hard part. And with Burrow out, I mean, that probably
changes things a little bit, but Burrow was in.
Yes.
And he had played in the preseason.
Yes.
191 and a half yards per game. So what the Browns are giving up. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons at 229. So it's almost 40 yards difference through two games against two good offenses. And I just wonder, it makes me think, does that give you a chance to win? Like, for instance, this week against the Green Bay Packers and Andy? I think it does. But one thing.
Your offense has to be at least average, Jeff. It's got to be at least average, and it's not. That's the problem. Get to 21 points. We sit here at 17 all the time. You wonder why you're on this losing streak. You can't score.
Okay, let me back that up for you. You ready? Not
yeah.
That it needs backing up.
Sure.
ESPN put out and love looking at all these different opinions on things. ESPN put out their power rankings. Oh, cool. ESPN put out their power rankings, okay, for week three.
Mm-hmm.
Browns have the number one defense in the National Football League, yardage allowed,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
And where the Browns are in their power rankings? 30th. That's how bad the offense has been. 30th. With the number one defense through 2 weeks in the National Football League. And
has this ever happened before?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering. Like, I'd love for somebody to do a deep dive on that.
Was written by ESPN's Browns beat reporter, Daniel Oyafusi. And Daniel wrote this, biggest quarterback takeaway, Joe Flacco can't mask fundamental issues with this offense. That's fair. He said Flacco's second stint in Cleveland off to a rough start. And then says the Browns offense has issues across the board. Non-existent running game, poor pass protection. We've seen that so far. Plenty of drops. I mean, think about what the Browns offense has to do. You have Joe Flacco, who's not the same guy that he was years ago, but can certainly still throw the football and run an offense. So what do you need to give him, Andy? A running game.
A running game
which you don't have right now. Good pass protection, which you don't have right now. And hang on to the football when Joe throws it in your vicinity. And they're not doing that right now. So everything that could possibly be going wrong with the offense is probably going wrong or not working real well for the offense. And that is how ESPN has the number one defense in the National Football League through 2 weeks at number 30 in their power rankings. Now, is that a little low? I don't know. Because the offense has been so bad, Andy, I can't tell you that it should be that they should be ranked any higher, despite a terrific defense. Remember, the NFL rules are based around offenses succeeding. And most of the rules aren't put in there to make the defenses better. They're put in there to make the offenses better. So if you can keep a team to 20 points or so, you ought to win some football games. And the Browns have, you know, they've scored 16 and 17 points.
I do think the things you can clean some things up, right? Like, don't drop passes.
Well, you would think.
I mean, the goal should be real simple. Don't drop any passes. Let's try to get someone or a combination of our running backs to 100 yards. I think if they can do that, they can win games with the defense they currently have. As long as the defense stays healthy. I mean, I'm putting caveats on everything as I keep going here. But
yeah, but you know what? You need to.
They just need an average offense to win. An average offense to win.
I agree with you. Rome is in Cleveland. Rome, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rome.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I this question keeps coming up. This topic keeps coming up, and I keep going back to the first Ravens Super Bowl. That defense was great, but like Andy was saying, the offense has to be average. I think we should still be hopeful. Because we got Jenkins back, and hopefully he could play a role like sort of like Jamal Lewis played on that team and give us a chance.
Maybe.
Yeah, I still think he needs to, what's crazy is I still think he needs to get in shape. Imagine what he did with 2 days of practice last week. 2 days. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to see what he can do down the road. We know what he did in college, and it was fun. And it was fun, especially because he had Trayvon Henderson with him, too. And those guys could play off each other. I don't know how it's going to work out here in Cleveland, but it does seem like he has at least one complimentary running back in that backfield with him. So I look forward to it. I think you're right. It's just, it is really frustrating to watch this offense be so bad. They're so bad.
And just one more comment. I can't remember the other rookie running back's name, but they kind of do remind me. Yeah. Dylan Sampson, right. They do kind of remind me of the Ernest Biner, Kevin Mack. Like, just put me kind of in that mind frame. Haven't seen enough to really say that that's what it is, but just the running styles. So, yeah, I'm kind of hopeful.
All right, Rome. See, that's what I'm thinking. Thanks for the call, Rome. I'm thinking the same thing. And that comparison, I think, is interesting, you know, because Kevin was more of a power back, and Ernest didn't get the credit for being able to run the football, you know, as often as he did. And then after he left here, he had even more success running the football. Ernest wasn't a little scat back coming out of the backfield. No. I don't think Dylan Sampson is either.
I don't either, yeah.
And that's where I think Rome's comparison actually works. Chuck's in South Euclid. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Well, we're good. How are you?
All right. Listen, I just think that, listen, Stefanski's been calling these plays now. I don't know, maybe 4 to 6 years he's been here.
This is year number six.
Yeah, he hasn't called all the plays since he's been here, but you're right, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like we need an offensive coordinator that knows the opposition defensive weakness, because it seemed like that's what a coach, the offensive coordinator, was on, the weakness of the defense of the opposition. And it just looks like when Kevin Stefanski called plays, it's like you had a, you know, being something like that, you see for it. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't happen. And 9 times out of 10, it don't happen. So we just, to me, I just feel we need an offensive coordinator, a real offensive coordinator.
Well, Chuck, thank you very much. They think they have one in Tommy Rees, and they think they have a play caller in Kevin. You know, and we can sit here and say anything we want about Kevin's play calling. I keep going back to two things. The only thing I've ever thought about Kevin's play calling, when he didn't give the ball to Nick Chubb in clear running, easy situations when you're inside the red zone, when Nick was here, that used to drive me nuts. I'll still cling to that one. But Mike Martz, one of the great offensive minds in NFL history, keeps telling us when Mike's on the show, Kevin comes up with great play designs. He likes the way he calls a game. He likes what Kevin does. And that carries a lot of weight for me, Andy.
I wonder, I wonder where Tommy Rees is with Kevin Stefanski. Like, I wonder if they're
on the same page.
Yeah, I wonder if they are. We'll never know, because if Kevin's calling the plays, unless Kevin walks away from the play calling, we'll never know. And Tommy will be. If Tommy agrees with Kevin, then he agrees with Kevin. That's fine. It's always going to appear that he's agreed with Kevin, unless he starts calling plays, right? And then we see the offense play a little bit different. And Kevin did give up the play calling there for a little bit to Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
So
that didn't work.
No. And I don't know if Kevin just wants to hang on to it. I don't know. I always remember Jim Tressel saying, if I'm not calling plays, then what else am I doing? Overseeing the rest of the team.
Can this defense give you some optimism, folks, despite an offense that has been miserable so far? For some reason, it does. It gives me the idea that if they can figure out this running game, this team might actually win some football games. 216-474-0092. Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 11 o'clock. She covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer. Cleveland.com.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
The Browns' defense is number one in yardage allowed through 2 weeks.
That sounds like a negative stat, doesn't it? They're the best team.
They're giving up the fewest yards per game of any team in the National Football League.
It does sound weird, though.
By far.
You're not incorrect in the way you're saying it.
By far.
It makes it sound like it's negative. It's not.
Well, it's not. It's a positive.
There you go.
And yet the Browns are 0-2 and ranked 30th. In power rankings from ESPN, despite having the number one defense. I look at the optimistic side. I think this defense is going to win them some football games. If
the defense can get a couple pick sixes.
All they need to do is run the football.
Scoop and scores.
If you run the ball.
Safeties.
You're going to win games like the Bengals game.
1-point conversions.
17-16. You had that game won. You had it won. Your kicker makes a couple of kicks. One of your wide receivers hangs on to one pass. You win that game.
The ifs and buts theory.
Roman is with us in Canton, home of all kinds of good things.
Hello, Roman.
I appreciate the all kinds of good things. Canton gets a bad rap sometimes.
Are you giving it a bad rap?
I'm not giving it a bad rap.
No.
Home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, yeah. Malone University, Walsh University, some fine
Finley
schools.
Finley Monument.
Down there.
Oh, yeah. All sorts of good stuff.
Yeah.
Kent State Stark, right? Stark State, yep. Isn't that? Yes.
Belden Village?
Yeah.
And restaurants that you don't see, by the way, elsewhere in Northeast Ohio. Stark County's in its own little area. There are chain restaurants you don't see like in Akron, Cleveland, and everything else.
It's weird. It's like Tuscarora's County has become your suburbs now.
There it is, Roman.
Just so you know that.
Go ahead. Little Stark County love for you there, Roman.
Appreciate it. Also, some very good high school football. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good teams down there.
What's going on with Dustin Fox's alma mater? Whew, they're having some troubles. Okay, anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Guys, I hate to give you an I told you so burger, but unfortunately the season is going to be a lot of this. It's going to be, you know, getting into the third quarter, somewhat getting close, but our defense just can't do everything. As much as I saw a stat, like we're out gaining our opponents 650 some yards to 200 and some yards and still losing games.
It's nuts.
It's insane. And this is the life of a Browns fan. We find new ways to lose every single season. And I've been watching them for 33 years, and I know that's a blip in the time of watching football, but guys, it's insane to me how we find new ways to lose. And unfortunately, Sunday I was just whatever about it. We can't expect anything from these guys because that's only going to lead to disappointment. A win here and there, unexpectedly, awesome. That makes for a great Sunday. But I, unfortunately, with this team now and the offense, how it looks, I expect to lose every Sunday. And that I hate saying that. It's not a good feeling, but that's
Roman.
That's
defense should keep you in some games. If you run the ball, you can win some games.
Yeah, and it does. And then, you know, we got games like week one where we hold a team with a very high-powered offense to 7 yards in the second half and lose the game by 1 point.
Yeah.
You know, that's just – you don't see that anywhere else in football, let alone the NFL. You don't see that anywhere in football. And that goes all the way down to the high school level. You know what I mean? It's just – you can't get worked up about it. And I told my wife that these are the best seasons as Browns fans because I have no expectations. I have no clue how it's going to go on Sunday. And the only time she's going to see me mad are probably going to be at those last 2 weeks of the season. If we're sitting at 0-15 or 0-14, then I'm going to start to get angry because you
Roman, if they win some games. Roman, thank you very much. As long as you've gone through all that pain, might as well go get that number one pick. By the way, we'll look at college quarterbacks coming up a little later on the show.
A list?
Just a little update.
No, it's a list.
We're not doing lists. If you have the same guys in the list every week, is it a list or is it an update?
It's a list.
Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin?
Kev!
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
We are hanging in.
Looking at quarterbacks already. You're making my point already for me, Jeff. Joe has got to go. Hey, Andy, who's the opponent you say has never been defeated? Who is that again?
Father Time.
I never say that. Are you
Father
kidding?
Father Time and Joe Flacco have had a battle, and we know who's won once again. He remains undefeated. I have seen Cole Molasses move faster than Joe Flacco. Listen, love the guy. 2 years ago he came. What a story. Off the couch, the whole thing. We all know the story.
It was
awesome. Lived it. It was great. It was fantastic. Even this Joe now isn't the Joe we got 2 years ago. I mean, he's got to go. I mean, when you have – hey, Jeff, what does he have, more turnovers or touchdowns? Which one of those does he have?
Believe that would be turnovers, I'm not going to blame him for the two in the first game.
No. I give him two.
Well,
really, really bad one. And I'll be honest, the fumble could have. Did anybody think his knee was down? Was I on another
play? It was close.
No.
It was close.
You're going to say straight out, no, his knee was not down.
The replay showed it was
It was close. It was very close.
But that doesn't count.
I know.
His knee moved so slowly, he didn't have time to hit the ground yet. That's how
Kevin. Shecky Kevin with us this morning.
I'm telling you. Right. And then you've got Gabriel that looked like a real quarterback coming out, and he moved
Kevin,
that down and scored a touchdown.
Kev, it was the end of the game. Come on, man. That was the end of the game. Be honest.
I'm sorry. Was it not a real NFL game, Andy? Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Were they not playing a real NFL team in a real game?
Yeah.
Were they
really going to make up 20 points on one play? No.
Kevin, here's my thought on this. Are you ready? And I'm going to agree with you. The argument that you don't want to throw Dylan Gabriel out there because he's not ready, blah 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 blah, and Joe gives you a better chance to win. I don't know that Joe gives you a better chance to win.
Thank you.
And by the way, Kev, if you listened yesterday, I said things had gone sideways. I would give Joe another half. That's about it.
Dylan Gabriel looked good enough to me. I think he's deserved a chance to start this game, and let's see what he's got for a whole game. Frankly, he looked like he could control an offense. He looked like he was pro-ready. I'm not saying he's going to be the next, you know, whatever, Peyton Manning. I'm saying that drive was enough for me in a real NFL game. He looked good enough to me. I think you give him the reins and see what he can do with it, and let's see what we got in this kid. Because otherwise, this is another waste of a season without doing it.
Kevin, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin.
See, here's the catch, and I've made this point all along. Without Pickett here, who is a veteran who has some experience, and you could play him, and he's young enough that you still might have a guy.
Jeff?
No, hold on, Andy. This isn't about Pickett. It's about Flacco and Gabriel and Sanders. The longer you play Joe, the less time you're going to have to make a decision on these rookies. I'm convinced.
As you said yesterday, they already made their decision.
Right. They're going to draft a quarterback next year. So what's the point now of playing Joe? If you think Joe gives you a better chance to win, well, if you're going to draft a quarterback next year, don't you want the pick to be as high as you're going to get?
Yeah.
And if you think Gabriel or Sanders might be able to do something, don't you want to throw them out there ASAP? And I'm just not convinced. I've seen Joe for two games now. Joe can still throw, and he doesn't move real well. He can still throw. What he did here 2 years ago was phenomenal. I think Dylan Gabriel probably gives you a better chance to win right now. I haven't seen where Joe gives you a big chance to win. So if you're actually trying to win, I might play the young guy. And screaming that he's not ready and everything else, okay, maybe he's not. Except the guy played 6 years of college football. When is he going to be ready? He's known for his processing, being able to read defenses. Sounds like if you're going to give a guy a chance, now's the time.
I don't disagree. They're 0-2 right now, so where are we going with this thing? And do I think Joe could start 17 games? Yeah, I do. I'm not going to lie on that. I think he could start 17 games. But I'm with you on that. I want to see Gabriel. I want to see Sanders. I want to see if you're going to lose, let's see what you picked, right?
But see, here's the thing. Do the young guys give you a better chance to win?
Jeff, here's the real thing. Does the organization care if they give you a better chance to win? Perhaps, maybe, these guys are writing the script for the next quarterback to take their job.
You do have two number ones next year, Andy.
And that second, that Jacksonville pick is sitting at 15 as of today.
And the Browns is sitting?
The Browns, my friend, were sitting at 4 yesterday, and they're sitting at 4 today as well.
Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. She's coming up next. If you're on hold, stick with us. We'll get your calls later in the show. Fun day here on Baskin & Phelps.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.